And welcome to Bone Business here on CannabisRio.com. Our next guest here is here to share a preview of the Indoor AgCon, the largest and leading trade show and conference dedicated to vertical farming, greenhouses, controlled environmental agriculture, or CEAs. It'll be returning to the Caesars Forum in Las Vegas, March 11th and 12th, and it's their 11th annual event. And joining me right now to go and talk about it is the CEO of Indoor AgCon, Brian Sullivan. Brian, thanks for being on with us.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
So, Brian, thanks for being on. It's nice to go ahead and get to hear about a new conference that's coming to the fray for the cannabis audience, because in the area of agriculture, it's one of those where what you're doing right now for this event coming up, you know, in only a few weeks, the chance for the cannabis industry to go ahead and be a part and really attach and connect with those in agriculture to get some real tangible thoughts, you know, for people that obviously have a lot of experience and a lot of forethought in terms of what they can provide in terms of best practices and strategies in the greenhouses, in the indoor grows. Now, in the show itself, you're bringing together farmers, growers and cultivators, ag tech leaders, suppliers, advocates, and enthusiasts under one roof. You'll have over 80-plus speakers, four tracks. One area is planning and operations. One is grower. One is cultivating possibilities. And we're going to talk about this after the break, but a new cannabis track, which I'm going to ask about that. Now, first of all, before we do anything, I want to get an idea where we just learned about the conference about ourselves just so if, not too long ago. What is it that this approach now after 11 years, bringing the cannabis industry and embracing them into the show? You know, we were talking before that you've had a lot of cannabis industry types attending at the show, but now this is the first moment they have their own set of tracks for a show that is also attached to agriculture.
That's correct. The show is going into its 11th year, and it's growing now. The facts are that myself and two others purchased this event in 2018. It was pure agriculture, a lot of vertical farming for agriculture what was the focus on it, and there was a lot of manufacturers talking to manufacturers. So when we purchased the event, we did a quick one in Singapore, and then we came back into the U.S., and we did a small one in 2019 in Vegas. And at that time, we kind of just did what the event was doing, and we decided after the Vegas show that we would throw out the baby in the bathwater and look at it a bit closer. So when we did that, we got it all ready for 2020 with a new with kind of like a new focus, and then COVID hit. So the event had a pause like all the other trade shows and things, and the focus was spread out into 2021 when we relaunched. And the change in the focus was not just having manufacturers, but having growers, farmers, and those types of folks come in and take a look at what was happening. So the renaissance kind of has been blossoming since then, so to speak. And it's bringing the growers in to see what the manufacturers have has really accelerated the growth of Indoor AgCon. It's been all the folks that have new technology, substrates, watering, trays, all AI are all these types of issues that have hit in the agriculture arena. And with that, We've kind of embraced a lot of leafy greens and foodstuffs and those types of products. But recent to that, the cannabis industry has come and started to take a look at us. And we've been speaking with a lot of folks in the cannabis arena saying, hey, can you help us understand a bit more of what's going on in closed environment and in the technology of growing? And some cannabis folks have said that, we're doing really well in cannabis, but now we want to branch out and go a little bit further. So talk to us about leafy greens and things. And a lot of the avenues are the same. So I think that was kind of the genesis of us adding a new track of cannabis information, cannabis education.
Well, Brian, I want to bring that up. Like I said, I want to bring it after the break, but there's a few things I want to just get, an understanding of what the show is doing, because there's a few more attributes we need to go ahead and put into the mix here. So, as you said, you have cannabis growers now that, I guess, if they're only able to go and rotate 1 year of crops, that what are they going to do with the rest of the time they have, you know, their grows set to go? you know, if it's not rotating, I mean, there's a lot of farmers that will do a thing where they will just rotate crops. They'll do different crops on the same ground, you know, every year, and they'll just rotate it by the season. One of those things is, too, is that, like you said, if the same ground can be used for cannabis, can be used for leafy greens or some other agricultural products, I mean, whatever vegetables it could be, whatever it could be. One of the things that you have is that not only are you recommending and offering those ideas of the cannabis industry coming to the show about this diversification, but you also connect yourself to another event going on at the same time in the same venue, the NGA show, the National Growers Association show. And that's associated with those under the IGA model, so the Independent Grocers Alliance. So any supermarket you ever see that has the red and white IGA logo on the store, these are the grocers and the retailers that are being represented. So not only do you have the fact that, okay, we're going to show you what else you can grow in your greenhouse, well, we're also going to show you and introduce you to people that you can also work with to wholesale or retail and sell to grocers that will take your product to market.
That's correct. What happened is that was another COVID thing that had popped. The National Grocers Association that was producing the NGA show, as we know it, in Vegas. And at that time, we lost our facility, our venue that we were going to have, and we were searching for another one. And I happened to know the folks at NGA, and I called them up, and I said, hey, I think you might have a little extra space. Would it be okay if we co-located with you with our events? And before we could even take notes on it, the excitement went through the folks at NGA and said, this is perfect. We've been looking for an organization to co-locate with, and this is perfect because, you know, you don't really want a competitor right next door to you. So we're not competitive. We're complementary. And so working with the NGA and the folks there all under one roof has been a good avenue for us on it. You know, we're co-locating, we're growing, they're growing. So together, the combined in Caesars Forum is a very good avenue. So we allow folks to cross over between the events with an expo pass on it. If they have an expo pass for one, you can get into the other.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I also sort of see that when it comes to the layout of the show, for those that might, you know, really, for those in the cannabis industry that do frequent a lot of conferences or exhibit or whatnot, the show that you have here, again, 80-plus speakers, you'll have four tracks. By looking at the expo floor right now, you got well over 100 exhibitors, look like, as you have here, and a pretty good space, the four educational session rooms. There's a lot there. And when we talked before we got on the recording here, you were mentioning how you had some cannabis industry types that were coming into the space. Can you give me a little idea of the makeup of who has come to the show and what made you prompt to go ahead and probably go to the cannabis track? And what was it that you saw them coming to go ahead and really respond to? What were they resonating with in terms of the education?
Well, the way it kind of played out is I mentioned that we were, you know, reborn almost after COVID. And the first event we had after COVID, I think we had 50 spaces with a waiting list. 4 months later, we did our next event. And we had 80 stands with a waiting list. Then it went a year to 2023. And the last event, we had 174 stands with a waiting list. Even right now, we have 250 booths are sold. And I think there's only just a handful left between now and the show before we'll be sold out again. And we expanded. We keep expanding. So that's kind of been like the logistics of what's going on. Now, I mentioned earlier that we were a number of cannabis folks had come to us and they said, what you should do is take a look at MJ BizCon. And I'm sure your audience is very familiar with MJ Biz, and we are too. So we actually went there and we noticed that it's almost two separate events. There's a lot of the retail end of it, and then there's the cultivating or growing sector of it. And a lot of the folks that we saw there might already have been with us or were interested in talking to us. So that is really where the ship started to turn direction a little bit. We wanted to make sure we were making an offering to folks that were interested in learning about the technology and the new ways to grow And you know, you mentioned earlier about rotating crops and things like that. That's exactly what's going on. If they can grow at different times of the year, you know, there's some indoor farms now that don't stop. You basically dump seeds in one end of a building, and the next person to touch the product is the grocer. So all the technology that's involved in sorting, planting, watering, harvesting, packaging, shipping, and things, all of those types of products and services are found at our event.
Now, one of the areas that I want to bring up is you do have a featured keynote speaker you've already announced so far, and there are two more to come. And one of them was really fascinating when I saw who you put up together. It was looking at the background of Paul Salou. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but he's a founder CEO of Little Leaf Farms, and most recently was awarded Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year 2023 for the area of New England, and was able to go ahead and compete in a national round of the Entrepreneurs of the Year, but was still in New England, represented in New England as itself. And for them, they are the number one packaged lettuce sustainably grown through CEA and delivering local and fresh, long-lasting, sustainably grown leafy greens. They have state-of-the-art greenhouses, and they're now selling the groceries right now within 24 hours of harvesting, and they're now being pushed out to major retailers throughout the Northeast and to the Southeast and more to the Midwest. So they're obviously going nationwide eventually. That's the initial intent. So this is the first person you decide to go ahead and get as the draw, you know, as the marquee towards the event coming up this year. Talk about the significance of having Paul at this event and what he really represents in terms of what is the very best of those growers that are coming to the show and what they can really learn from him.
You've kind of crossed a lot of the T's and dotted a few I's in that path that you just laid out there. It's exactly correct. The one thing about growing indoors is local, fresh, transportation costs are reduced. You can get into the areas of the country that are, you know, that have easy access to roadways. We actually do another event in the fall. It's called the CEA Summit East, and we do it in Virginia. And we do it in Virginia with a lab, the Institute for Advanced Research and Learning folks. We've worked with Governor Youngkin's office, and the Secretary of Agriculture I've become very friends with, Secretary Lohr, we work with, because Virginia is an agriculture state. We hold it there, and it draws very well there. The reason it draws well there is because of its location. With Virginia, you know, tobacco use has actually been reduced over the last number of years, but there's a lot of folks in Virginia that are that understand how to harvest, how to grow and harvest as an agriculture state. So with that, it made sense to put our other event in there as well. And we actually go all year long with our indoor ag conversations, which are free educations webinars that we'll do. And all year long, people can stay educated with us. And again, we might be saying the words leafy greens, but that doesn't mean you can't insert cannabis into a lot of the conversations.
Now, what can you tell me about Paul himself in terms of what was it that warned him to be that first feature speaker? And any idea what would be the onus for those in the cannabis industry, what to learn from him?
Yes. The one thing, Paul has done a marvelous job with his organization. He is really a star there. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, trials and tribulations when you're working in an emerging technology or emerging arena such as indoor agriculture. And he has done it. You know, some folks have had, you know, trouble, you know, understanding all the paths. It's not you just, you know, start a farm and things go along. So the reason Paul is being recognized so much is because of what he's done. He understands the chain of, you know, growing, the resources, watering, the packaging. The packaging has to be right that the consumer is looking for. So all the avenues that Paul has taken have led him right into an arena. you know, these days of watching weather issues and, you know, having, you know, watering issues, storms and things taking out farms, Paul has made an arena of almost, it's almost industrial farming, so to speak, where everything is going through transportation and everything is wrapped into his product and service so he can ultimately serve the consumer in what they're looking for, local and fresh.
All right, we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we mentioned we were talking about a new cannabis conference track for cultivators that are going to be introduced for the first time at Indoor AgCon. We're going to talk about that after a short break. But again, Indoor AgCon, if you want to go learn more about it, everything that's going on with the show, you can go to indoor.ag, indoor.ag. And again, the event's going to be at Caesars Forum Convention Center, March 11th and 12th. So we'll learn more about that here with Brian Sullivan, the CEO of Indoor AgCon, with more Blood Business after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Brian Sullivan, CEO of Indoor AgCon and the Indoor AgCon Conference that's going to be held March 11th and 12th in Las Vegas at Caesars Forum. And for the first time at this event, the 11th annual event, I might add, you're going to be introducing a new cannabis conference track for cultivators. And here's some of the sessions. These are the sessions that you're going to be held at the event. Now, you'll have past, present, or future, the state of the evolving cannabis landscape. You'll elevate your cannabis grow, finding the right vertical racking systems for optimal efficiency, crossroads of cannabis, MSO evolution, and legacy resilience, unveiling the essence, mastering terpene excellence in cannabis cultivation, bridging the gap, integrating cannabis cultivation with a traditional horticulture for operation excellence. So now, in a couple of those areas, first of all, with what you've been doing right now with the tracks, first of all, talk to me about the outreach you've had so far. I mean, just without going into too minute detail, the MSOs, have you gotten any response from them? And have there been any that already have committed to go and be a part of the show in some fashion?
I don't have the exact number of MSOs that will be participating. But we always have, because we're kind of like at a crossroads right now where we're into the new year, and it's right about now that our heavy marketing is going on, and folks are starting to raise their hands saying that they're coming. So exactly who's coming is still to be determined, since we're about 12 weeks out from the event.
Well, now I'll ask this then. When it comes to those that will be attending, because for the MSOs, we also have the craft cannabis owners. We have those that are the smaller owners. When you look at what the tracks are going to be doing, obviously we want to mention one that does say MSO right in it, but also all this right here, would you say that there is a lot that's to be said where, for instance, if you have those growers that are looking to go in, the makeup of what you have that are independent and those that are large scale, maybe almost corporate size growers, what can you give me as the makeup of that in the controlled environmental agriculture space, those that are small versus those that are very large? What's the ratio of that?
You know, the ratio is it's all of them, the way we look at it, because there's a lot of folks that are just starting off into the industry. When those folks come in, they're thirsty for knowledge. They're coming in and watching every bit of it because they want to grow into a large organization at some point. You know, with investment, they're looking for investment. They're looking at the technology, the AI end of things they're looking at, all the systems, genetics and seeds and all those different types of things they need to learn if they're going to take the leap in. So they're small investors and those types of things. And then there's, you know, some organizations that are, you know, kind of mid-size that they're already farming either in cannabis or in leafy greens, and they're looking to learn more to grow. And we also have the large organizations. Mm-hmm. And the large organizations that are coming in, those folks are keeping an eye on the smaller organizations because they know that one of these days that they're going to want to grow up into a larger organization. And actually, they're their target if they're looking, because they all want to be that big organization one day. So the big guys better watch what's going on with the small guys.
And when I think about what's the appeal for those coming to the tracks, so I'm talking about from the cannabis industry side, but let's go to the other side. Those that have been coming and existing, have been to the shows exhibiting, attending or probably even speaking of the shows, what has been the process so far about the incorporation of cannabis into the show? What kind of feedback have you gotten so far?
They're interested. They like it. I mentioned earlier that we had been at the MJ BizCon show, and we were just walking the aisles and talking to folks that were there, and the interest was very high from the manufacturers because it's agriculture. You know, agriculture has a lot of components to it, and cannabis is a component of agriculture. So, you know, when we say leafy greens, we're saying you can also grow cannabis. There's actually ornamentals. There, you know, folks that are growing ornamental things that eventually get sold through Home Depot or other retail garden centers and things are also looking for avenues to spread their wings and grow their product better, quicker, faster on it. So that's part of the environment that we live in.
Now, with that said, we've talked a lot about growers, but we haven't also talked much about the technology side. So, on the cannabis side, obviously, we know there's a lot of people that are using, various products that might have to go and work with Metric because it's very much the universal standard now for a lot of companies and to find into compliance. And that's the other area that doesn't get talked about much. Where that's something I always talk about here on the program and on our grassroots bargaining series about compliance. But I didn't notice if you had any of that into the agenda right now in terms of regulations. And obviously cannabis is a different set of regulations than what your agriculture has, because if I'm correct, agriculture probably has to follow what we've heard about as good manufacturing practices. There's a much higher end of regulations that the ag industry must follow as opposed to what the cannabis industry has. It's a different set of rules. Is that pretty much accurate? And what is there about that that'll be discussed in the show?
See, that you're absolutely correct. See, what's happening, cannabis is, relatively new, but compared to the agriculture arena, if you roll the cameras back and watch what, happened over the years, the U.S. or America is an agriculture country, not just by state, but every state is producing some sort of agriculture in the United States. So with that, cannabis is kind of newer because of the regulations that have been on it for years, out of Washington, D.C. So there's those regulations are not as deep as it is with leafy greens and other produce products on it. So the network of availability, cannabis is regulated. I'm in Connecticut. They just opened up, I believe, 20 or 25 facilities, dispensaries and things here. So they're interested in it. But compared to the grocery industry, there's thousands of grocers here in Connecticut and things. So the thirst for those products are so much more.
Right. Now, as we talked about, the show, and I think you already mentioned in one of your other shows that you have that you feature in Virginia, it's a CEA summit, which you'll be featuring later this year. And it's really a lot of focus I looked at when I looked at the agenda itself was controlled environmental agriculture. And, we've had a lot of people on the program that talk about that. First of all, from those that want to build the greenhouses, the scalability and building it so it's put to particular specs and depending on the size and what they want to do with the grow, to drones being used to go ahead and track and AI to go ahead and track the grow and terms of, compliance of looking for any issues of any kind of pesticides or any kind of yeast, mold, bacteria, any kind of issues like that, RFID tagging, all these different areas that are involved within the greenhouse. And we've had a lot of that talk about that. And when we look at it, we know that crops can be grown indoors and there's the technology for agriculture is advancing a lot, and also demand for local food increases across North America because obviously, for a lot of vegetables, you see your produce department, how many times do you have products that are coming from other countries? And the import, the export cost that's being also put towards the consumer, you want to be able to have more growers out there and something that will encourage more growth. So if the weather conditions outside, the outdoor conditions that could cause any kind of issues of contamination, you want to be able to see if you can do it in greenhouses, and that's obviously what's being done more. So when it comes to that, what is the focus with CEA at the show, and, you know, the for the makeup of the audience there that comes to the event and exhibits? What other areas am I missing that also encompass CEA that people will learn and experience at the show?
A number of things. You know, you mentioned, you know, other countries. Last year, about 3 or 4 weeks before the event, our team was talking about our registration, and they said, hey, Bri, do you know how many countries are going to be represented at the show? And I said, and I kind of figured, oh, wow, it'd be great if we get to about 10. Well, folks from 33 countries registered for the event. I had, you know, and I was surprised. Now, that's how many registered. Actual attendance was from 29. So this has become an international event because we are an agricultural country, that folks are interested in learning from around the world. So when we talk about storms or environment, it's an interesting arena. When I first got involved in the event, they were talking about, hey, you should talk with NASA. And I said, well, how many attendees are we actually going to get from Mars? But the answer was they were one of the first in CEA organizations because they had to grow things in space, and they tried it. So that type of stuff is being, you know, brought into it. So, you know, the event that we do in Virginia, I mentioned, is done with the Institute. It's actually a testing lab. So there's a lot there. And if you're interested in looking at products and you want to test it, you might have to go out and hire your own scientists and labs equipment and those types of things, where you can go to the Institute and have them test it for you at better, quicker, faster, and a lot less expensive, because they have all the tools there for it. So that's why CEA is important. Closed environment is kind of a wide arena. In there, you know, it could be strictly indoor agriculture, but greenhouses too is a controlled environment. So anybody starting anything in a greenhouse, it might start inside and go outside, but they still need that closed environment due to the weather conditions, you know, there's less, not completely, but there is a less,
I need to pause a second here.
Sure. There's less fertilizer, less problems in growing indoors, fungus and things. You know, you can control it. It's the essence of the word of the controlled environment now being applied to any agriculture.
Wow. Let's go back to commercial break. When we come back, Brian, we're going to go ahead and continue on. We're just getting a little more of an overview of what Indoor AgCon will be coming up. Again, Caesars Forum, March 11th and 12th. And you can find more information about the show at indoor.ag, indoor.ag. Coming back with more questions with Brian Sullivan, CEO of Indoor AgCon, here on Blunt Business, after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
And welcome back to Blunt Business. We're back with final questions here with Brian Sullivan, CEO of Indoor AgCon. And really appreciate you taking time out to go ahead and learn about the event. For those that didn't realize the fact that they're going to have cannabis tracks available this year at the conference, and just an overview of the conference itself, again, it's on Monday and Tuesday, March 11th and March 12th, and you'll have the setup where you're starting up pretty early, 8 o'clock, with keynote addresses, starting up at that with a welcome on both days. You'll have conference tracks throughout the day. You'll have two keynotes on the first day of the show, expo theater sessions, and you also have a pre-show food safety workshop. Quite a few things here. Real quickly, tell me about the pre-show food safety workshop and what encompasses that.
You know, that's another thing that came to us, you know, with food products and different products hitting the market. There's always a concern about food safety. You know, a number of years ago, every year around Thanksgiving, we always heard about, you know, certain types of lettuce and things that may have had E. coli or something like that on it. So it's very important that food is inspected and the producers understand what's happening with what they're growing and what they're, you know, sending off to the retailers. So with that, we decided to add a certification. You can come in and really learn about
the safety issues and things that are important to the consumer, and you'll actually even get a certificate from that. So we're actually offering CEUs to folks who come and participate in those sessions.
When you look at what the compliance issues they have within the agriculture sector, and for those that are using specifically controlled environment agriculture, can you give me a little quick idea of what levels of compliance are required? So some of the accreditations that you have here in this particular workshop, is that something where you have, does this really encompass what is, which ultimately has to be required, the bare minimum, or at least more of what's required for compliance to make sure that everything's above board? And what the FDA, I guess, are they the governing body that really, it's a national body that really governs what compliance is for all these products, as opposed to cannabis is with, you know, state control boards?
Yes. Now, it is controlled there, but there is folks that do education for it around the country. There's different organizations. We've been working with Cirrus University. Those are the folks that are actually going to be doing the education. So these folks from the university level are actually going to be giving out, it's a certificate or almost a diploma once they finish with this particular program, to learn to be sure what to watch out for. There's all kinds of things that can hit the food, airborne, and different things that can hit the environment. So it's always best to be aware of these things when you're a producer. So that, again, was a genesis of the folks from the university that come to us and said, we can help offer this. Why don't you allow us to do this? So that's what they're doing. Almost similar to what the cannabis folks came and asked.
So let's go ahead and go into the bread and butter of the show when it comes to it. Again, March 11th and 12th, Caesars Forum, Las Vegas. Right now, over the website, if you're looking at indoor.ag, there is an early bird deadline of January 26th for your chance to go and get tickets beforehand. And also that this pass also includes access to the expo floor of the National Growers Association show, which is also adjacent to Indoor AgCon. So you have that. And again, the senior sessions, there's so much more to that. So real quickly, talk to me about, for those that should be coming to the show, and obviously you'll still have room right now for exhibitors. You still possibly, by the time we put this out and recording, once we publish this out, we should still have time. What's the deadline on speakers? And what's the deadline on exhibitors in terms of what they should be looking forward to, and why should they go ahead and attend? Why should they exhibit?
Well, I'd like to talk about attendance first, because if folks, since this is a new entree for us to get into the cannabis arena, we know we're going to be successful there. But we are offering your listeners a discount of 20%. When they do register on our website, when it asks for a code, if they put in a CAN Radio 24, all capital CANRADIO 24, they'll get a 20% discount. So if they're wondering, or just curious about it, they can save some money by registering by the deadline and after it, and apply that code, and they'll get a 20% discount. But as far as the exhibitors go, is we've actually expanded the floor plan twice this year on it. And we're going to be sold out. If you're looking at the floor plan now, I think there's 19 stands left available on it.
Right.
If you look at the floor plan, or approximately 20. The deadline for that is once they're gone. On it. So we've actually, I guess I could say we already sold out twice, because we expanded the floor plan twice on it. But this is it. Working in the space allotment that we have, we cannot do that, because one of the things we offer the folks in the conference is, lunch is included. And, when we're setting things up, we need room for the lunches, for the sessions, for the keynotes, and all those types of stuff. So once these 19 are gone, there's no more available. And that's what's happened to us the past couple of years, is that we've sold out every year.
Also, the pricing on the registration for farmers and growers is significantly less for those that might be also attending that are just outside of that whole scheme. Talk about that part of, in the cannabis industry, will that same thing apply for farmers and growers? What is the what is required to show that they can go and receive that pass?
Yes. You know, we always want to encourage growers to come to learn about everything that's happening in the agriculture arena. We'll know by their registration. Usually their email address will be at, afarm.com or wherever it is. So, and if they have any questions that, might be questionable, they can just send us an email, and we're pretty fluent with, are pretty liberal with allowing folks in as long as they are, showing that they are a grower or farming in the agriculture arena.
Now, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, you mentioned how leafy greens, for those growers out there, cannabis is also considered one of those leafy greens. So if they are cannabis farmers and growers, then they are absolutely also entitled to get into that price as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have opened up the arena by request, we opened up the cannabis sector here and things. So we want to embrace them, bring them in, because we believe that they can, really benefit from this event. The learning sessions, the keynotes from investment to all the products needed to grow. So any of the growers, they might find a new process here. Maybe, they're growing so much they need to add AI to their to their sector. What's that going to cost? How are we gonna bring that into our arena? This is the place to come and see it. We're a growing event, but we really are have hit the world stage on it. As small as an event that we are, we are getting people from around the world, and the interest is here. And the reason is because of the benefits that are available to the agriculture arena.
I'll take that by request. I'm going to probably amplify it and say by popular demand. We'll even go to that higher level.
By popular demand.
There you go. The 11th Annual Indoor Ag Con in Las Vegas, Caesars Forum Convention Center, March 11th and 12th. Right there in the property of Caesars Palace and the hotels are quite a venue, and a lot of events still going on there. And also, the Caesars, I know they've done a lot of renovations with their hotel, and they've done with their rooms and this and that. So what can you tell us about anything about room blocks, if there's anything that you can tell us about that, or any other things in terms of any networking events that will be going on that is not on the show floor?
Yes, everything is focused on the show floor. Now, one thing to clarify is that Caesars Forum Convention Center. So if you know Vegas, Vegas is big and large. There's a Caesars Hotel. There's a Caesars Forum Shops. And there's Caesars Forum Convention Center. We're going to be at the Caesars Forum Convention Center that's at the base of the Ferris wheel. So if you're in Vegas and you're lost, just look for the Ferris wheel, and that's the place where you have to go to come over and see us. So, and if you're looking for hotel rooms, just go to our website. We have hotel blocks on our website. The show is going to offer up an awful lot. Once you get there, I'm sure the day is going to pass very quickly for you because of all of the sessions and things that we're offering at the show.
And once again, you also get access to the National Growers Association show in the same venue, same time. So you get all that access there for one shot. So, Brian Sullivan, CEO of Indoor AgCon. And, hopefully you'll keep us updated with any other announcements that come across. And obviously, we're going to see how what Cannabis Radio can do in terms of being participating in it. But at least one thing you can do is that, lay the groundwork here for our audience to learn about the show. So I wanted to get that out in a little exploratory. So happy to have that on. And let's definitely keep in touch and see how everything goes after the show. And see where everything goes from there. Thank you again for being on with us. I really appreciate you taking time out. The website again is indoor.ag. And Brian, thanks for being on with us. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. And look forward to seeing everybody in Vegas. And don't forget to register and get with the code I offered.
Right. CAN Radio 24. But with that said, thanks for listening to the Boat Business. We'll talk to you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.